Okay. Hello, my name is Alston Coburn, and I am the University Archivist at East Carolina University, and I'm here today at the home of Francis Kane, and we're going to do an oral history interview. It is July 1st, 2025. Francis, can you please tell us your full name and when and where you were born?
Francis Earl Johnson Kane, and I was born in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina.
And when were you born?
June 16th, 1937.
Thank you. So what did your family do for a living in Roanoke Rapids?
My mother was a stay-at-home mom, and my father was a textile designer for the mill.
Okay. And what's the name of the mill?
It was Rosemary Manufacturing Company, and it ended up being J.P. Stevens.
Okay. Did you have siblings?
One brother, John Johnson, who was 3 years younger than me, and also was a music major at East Carolina.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. So what led you to enrolling as a student here at East Carolina?
Well, I sort of had thought about I wanted to come here, but then when my teacher took me to the North Carolina Federation of Music Club contest in Greensboro, and whoever won that would win $500 if they would be a music major. And I won it, so I got $500, and that's when I decided to major in music.
And so what did you play?
I played the piano beginning, starting when I was about 9 years old.
Okay.
And was playing for my church when I was 12. They didn't have an organ until I was 15. And then I continued and played the organ. My piano teacher in Roanoke Rapids also knew the organ, so he taught me some of both.
Okay. Okay, great. And when you came here and were a music major, what was your focus? And what is your degree, like music performance or
Bachelor of Music and Performance, and that degree had just been put in, and I was the first female to get that degree here.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think you did tell me that maybe before. Okay, and so was that with piano in particular? Your focus?
It was piano and organ. My teacher here also was piano teacher and organ teacher.
Okay.
So he taught me both.
I see.
And we had a huge pipe organ in Old Austin.
Yes, okay, in Old Austin building, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And so did you, what year did you start here?
I started here in 55 in the fall. And went to one session of summer school, so we were on quarter system, and so it put me a quarter early finishing.
Mm-hmm.
So I finished after winter quarter in 59.
Okay. Okay. Did you, when you were in school here, were you a part of, like, any ensemble groups?
I had never touched a violin until I got here.
Yeah.
And they taught a class called string group, which was in music education, and I didn't have to take it because I was in performance.
Right.
But it sounded interesting, so I signed up for music education string group. And had never touched a violin.
Right.
And by the end of first quarter, I was in the East Carolina Orchestra.
Oh, yeah?
That's...
Did you enjoy it?
How bad the orchestra was. It was made up of... We had one string major in all of the schools.
Okay.
And it was made up of people in town and...
Oh, okay.
And then
okay.
The last couple of rows... Well, people like me, we could just do open strings and we could hardly do anything.
How long did you do that group? How long were you in that group?
4 years.
Okay.
I stayed in it the whole time because I really enjoyed it. I finally got a little bit better, but, you know, nothing like it is now. The orchestra now is
really
wonderful.
Good.
Yeah. I don't miss their concerts.
Yeah.
But that's how the orchestra was then, with one string major.
Okay. That's interesting. Were there other groups that you were involved in?
Okay, they have SAI, Sigma Alpha Iota,
mm-hmm.
Girls Music Fraternity.
Right.
It was an honorary thing. And I was in the first pledge class because I came in 55 in the fall, and it was started in 55 in the spring. So I was in the first pledge class.
Okay.
And still to this day, I didn't for a long time, but some of the students I know found out that I was in it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very involved now. I go, it's sort of a secretive thing,
mm-hmm.
so when they have initiations, they call me to play. I go to play for the initiations, and they call me all the time to get involved with them.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's great. Was there anything else? In particular, or just studies?
Studies, a lot of practicing.
Right.
Because music performance was, we had to give a full recital
right.
at the end of sophomore year
mm-hmm.
to see if we could go on. Then we had to give a full recital our junior year, and then we gave a full recital our senior year.
Right.
So we had to give three.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of practicing.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you, I know you've told me before that you originally thought you might be a business major.
Mm-hmm.
Did you end up studying, like, you weren't a double major, were you?
Yeah.
Did you study any? Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess, did you have electives probably? Did they let you take a few electives too, or were you mostly really just kind of focused on music?
I don't even remember my electives.
Okay. But you think you did take a few?
I think there were a few, but,
okay.
I don't remember what they were.
Right. So when you graduated from East Carolina,
mm-hmm.
what did you do then?
Okay. Actually, it was 59 in February when I finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I had met my husband in biology class spring quarter of the year before.
Okay.
And we got married in March of 59. It was very different because he was captain of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a music major, and that is about as far different as you can get.
Yeah.
So, actually, we got married, and he had another year of eligibility. He could play in the fall of 59.
Yeah.
And that's when he was captain of the team or co-captain. And so I got a job. I knew shorthand, typing, all that stuff. So I got a job at WNCT.
Okay.
Secretary to the commercial manager. I had to do copy for the commercials. I had to place the commercials in the between the, you know, break,
mm-hmm.
which we could only have two at the time.
Okay.
I think now they have about seven or eight.
Right.
And they could not be like two car dealerships. It had to be
two different types of things.
And I had a job. Of course, I had kept one. But I had a job at the Memorial Baptist Church here.
Okay.
I was the organist.
Did you do that while you were in school too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was down on Green Street.
Okay.
And so I did that, and until he, you know, kept doing that until he graduated,
right.
And then he got a coaching job in Suffolk, Virginia, and of course I got an organist job at a church and had a private studio. So I had about 35 students. And they gave me a place that I could teach at the church, and it was right downtown.
Oh,
so it was just real easy to get to. And then I was very involved with the high school. I played for all the
Right.
Musicals I did and the commencements and, mm-hmm. you know, I was kind of involved with that.
Nice. Okay. And so tell us your husband's full name and where he's from.
Mm-hmm. William Earl Kane. We both have the same middle name. And he's from Rockingham, North Carolina.
Okay. And so you moved to Suffolk, mm-hmm. Suffolk, mm-hmm. and how long were you all there?
5 years. Okay. He was football coach, and both of our sons were born in Suffolk.
Okay.
So they're Virginia natives.
Yes, okay.
And we kind of went our separate paths, but we're still, you know.
Yeah, so what did you do after that?
After that?
Yes.
When we moved from, he got a chance to coach in Albemarle, North Carolina.
Yes.
Which is near Charlotte.
Yeah, near Charlotte, mm-hmm. yeah.
And it was sort of a promotion for him. So
right.
he took the job and was football coach there. And I was real involved in the high school. They had musicals and all their concerts for choral
yeah.
music. They had me when they found out that, you know,
yeah.
I played. And so I was playing for everything and decided, since it was so far from my hometown, I might want to go home some weekends.
Yeah.
I decided not to take a full-time church job.
I see.
But I was playing somewhere every Sunday.
Yeah.
Somebody calling me to play, filling in. And
yeah.
so I said, well, I didn't say that till we moved to Greenville, but I said, I'm going to get a full-time job. I'm tired of going to every church.
Yeah, 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 just moving
in
around.
In Albemarle, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it, but
yeah.
I was very involved with the high school.
How long were you in Albemarle?
3 years.
Okay, okay. And then you came to Greenville.
Mm-hmm. In 68, he got a chance to coach at East Carolina.
Okay.
They divided the freshmen up from the varsity,
uh-huh.
and he was head freshman coach.
Okay.
And brought here by Clarence Stasevich.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard right. that name?
Yes. Mm-hmm. yes. Yes, we have some of his papers. So that's who recruited him to
mm-hmm.
come here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I should ask too. I got out of order, but I should ask you when you were. Well, when you were in school here,
mm-hmm.
or when y'all moved back and were, you know, part of East Carolina again.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any like particular campus events that you remember that really stuck out to you? Things that you went to on campus or speakers or anything like that?
Well. Mostly athletics.
Yes.
Because
okay.
I loved athletics.
Right.
And also, when we first got back here, my husband, of course, was freshman coach. But then he had to teach some PE classes.
Yes.
Okay. And he had to teach tennis and didn't know a whole lot about tennis.
Right.
But he would tell his students that thought they were, you know, didn't have anybody to play in class, I'm going to bring this person to class, and if you beat her, you'll get an A. So it was me. And I would walk into class, and this old lady, they would say, oh, boy, I've got an A for sure. And I would beat them every time.
Right.
And they would report the score, and he would say, you mean you didn't beat that old lady? But I was very involved in athletics and just loved athletics, so it worked out.
How did you start playing tennis?
I started when I was about 9 years old.
Okay.
My mother taught me, and she was not a professional teacher. She
right.
just said, here's a racket, get down there and hit the ball back to me. Because she... from a, you know, a family of 12 that really didn't have that much.
Mm-hmm.
And tennis was kind of a uppity sport, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But her best friend, they had summer homes up in the western part of Virginia and real fancy place.
Mm-hmm.
and that's where she learned tennis. So she taught me, and I played all the way through. We didn't have a team, right. But I played, you know, and then played. I never really played on a team in a school.
Yeah.
It was always teams like Greenville Tennis Club and
you know,
that kind of thing later on. But never played in high school. They didn't even have girls. I'm not even sure they had boys tennis in high school.
Right.
In the 50s.
Yeah.
And then they did at East Carolina, but I'm not sure that they had girls.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it started. Yeah.
Not either. But anyway, I just enjoyed going to everything in the athletic department.
Well, so are there any people from athletic, you know, athletic figures that you remember coming to campus that you were excited to see?
Well, one very special person was Clarence Sasserich. And he's the one that brought us here. Then the coaches, it was a funny story, sort of. Pat Dye, he was one of the coaches, and Sonny Randall.
Yeah.
I had all of their children as piano students.
Oh, okay.
And then I didn't realize what was going on until later I found out that when they had assistant coaches coming in, they would say, well, now, if your child needs a piano teacher, I know who to tell you to call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason. And I had tons of boys taking piano, which was unusual.
Uh-huh.
I had Sonny Randall's children. I had Pat Dye's children, you know, just all along the way. And I just loved to go to everything in athletics. And, of course, I went to everything I could in music, too.
Right.
Now, my husband did not go to the musical event, but I went to athletic events. Uh-huh. You know, he wasn't quite into that.
What if you were the one that was performing?
Well,
I mean, he probably saw you in church a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He was always
sitting at the same spot in church. So,
he would see you play
his
then.
His seat in church was across, and he could see me. He said he was going to be sure I was, you know, doing
what you were supposed to be doing.
And
what church was it again?
St. James Methodist.
St. James Methodist, okay.
And I'm still the organist.
Right.
57th year.
Okay. So your children spent most of their childhood in their childhoods in Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you did talk on this a little bit. So with tennis, you said you played for the tennis organization here.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about your experiences with that, how long you did that. And you also, I know, have told me that I think you and maybe also Bill did stuff with the senior games.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the city tennis group had what they call a ladder, and you had to challenge and get. Well, I was always number one on the ladder from women's singles.
Okay.
So I had to, and then we had teams that would go to different towns and play. Washington, New Bern, Kinston, you know, Goldsboro, Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
We'd go, you know, to all this. I was telling somebody last night about when we played Fort Bragg, the way they searched our bags.
Oh, yeah.
When we got to the gate, because, you know, they had to do that.
Right.
But anyway, for years I did that until I had to stop playing when I was 79, which was 9 years ago.
That is a long tennis career.
I played from 9 to 79. And I thought, well, maybe 70 years is enough.
Is that what you did with the special, or not special, the
senior game?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was tennis too?
Uh-huh. A local tennis, it wasn't that much participation. But when you got to the state level, it was really good. And so I really enjoyed that.
What did Bill do in the senior games?
Racquetball.
Okay, mm-hmm. Racquetball.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They had courts in Minji's.
Yes.
It was way back, handball.
Yes, right.
And you hit it with your hand,
yes.
But then it got to be racquetball.
Right.
So that's what he did in the senior game. So we both were involved in that.
So you in Greenville, right, you professionally, you were the organist at the church.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have your own studio here? Or did you work at ECU at some point?
No, I did. I taught for years here.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Years.
Okay.
And then, you know, just finally, as they graduated and all, I finally thought, well, that's long enough. So I stopped teaching.
How long did you teach?
Well, from 1960 to probably... we're in the 90s.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because...
at least 30 years, 35.
Am I remembering correctly that you are one of the School of Music's distinguished alumni?
Yeah, they gave me that honor in 2013.
Okay.
I couldn't believe that. That was really something. Yeah.
Are there other things like that?
Well, that might...
This is a good opportunity for you to brag on yourself.
That might be.
I mean, that is what I want to know. Like, are there other, you know, are there other, like, groups on campus you've been involved, that you have been or still are, maybe athletic related or otherwise, or
yeah.
scholarships you've been involved with, or, you know, other awards that you've received from the university?
Well, actually, probably the distinguished alumni might be.
Yeah.
Might be.
And then I know that you, the Order of the Cupola, you guys
are
part of that.
Oh, yeah. And what is this last thing I got? What is that behind
oh,
you?
Oh, yes, you're right. The Trustees Award for Distinction to you and Bill.
Uh-huh.
In 2014.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
2014?
Oh, sorry, 2024.
Yeah, sorry to say. I think it's 20.
Yeah.
And then the thing in below it, I think, is the Leo Jenkins Society. What is that?
Yes, it is. The Leo Jenkins Society.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, he's another one that I would have to bring up that was so special to us, Leo Jenkins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And,
Did you tell me one time that you all used to have dinner with him? You
well,
go to his house?
In fact, I've got letters over here from Dr. Jenkins and I think Dr. Messick.
Mm-hmm.
They used to invite us over to the house to eat. Mostly Dr. Jenkins. We went up there a lot.
That's wonderful.
Uh-huh. We went up there a whole lot. He was special. And he was a member of St. James and I always sat on the back row by himself.
Okay.
And when he died, he had written somewhere he wanted me to play for service. So, so I did.
That's nice.
But he was a special person.
Mm. Yeah, he was here a long time too.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill was the freshman coach, and then, but he wasn't always the freshman coach. So can you tell me about that
a little
bit more?
Okay, he was freshman coach for, well, a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was tennis coach and golf coach.
Okay.
Which, you know, was just thrown in there on him and
right.
still had to teach physical education
yes.
classes. So he ended up mostly teaching physical education classes and health and
right.
and that. And then, let's see, in 1975 is when Clarence Stasevich died, and he was the athletic director.
Right.
They had no search or anything.
Yeah.
Dr. Jenkins said, Bill Kane's the new athletic director. I mean, which is yes. unusual because,
yeah.
you know, how they have searches.
Right, always. Yeah.
yeah. But he named him athletic
okay.
director.
Okay, okay, so that's
in 1975. And stayed into that. Gosh, I'm getting mixed up.
It was a while, I believe.
Yeah, it was a while.
Is that the position he retired from?
No, he actually, In fact, he got out of that in 1980 and went into the academic.
Okay.
And was chair of this department, acting chair of health and human performance.
Okay.
And
And
went years doing all that. Then he ended up being assistant to the dean.
Okay.
I can't remember the year of that.
Was that the dean of the College of Human Health Performance?
Right.
Okay.
It was like Christian Sama, who went to Oregon, and then I don't know who was after him, and then Glenn Gilbert was the last one.
Okay.
And he still keeps in touch with me. He'll call me.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He lives in Oregon.
And so Bill retired from that. Do you remember what year?
Mm-hmm.
Approximately?
Let's see. Like, what year is it now? 2020?
It is 2025.
Uh-huh. I've got the book in there that tells.
Okay. So he retired from there. So what did when you were both kind of retired, what did you do then? What did you like to do then?
Well, I had my church job.
Yep. Okay.
And
you were still doing tennis, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was doing
still
racquetball.
Did you do senior games?
Did you do any traveling, or I guess maybe your family? Tell me about your kids.
Yeah.
Tell me their names and where did they live?
Okay, they were both born in Suffolk.
Right.
Lance lives in Greenville.
Okay.
And has three children
and
five grandchildren. That's Lance. So I have five great grandchildren.
Okay.
And Tracy, the youngest boy, he never thought Tracy was that a sharp name for a boy, but anyway.
I know one other man named Tracy.
Yeah, I do too, I know. But anyway, he ended up being a music major at East Carolina.
Okay.
Bass trombone.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up being in a rock band based in Raleigh for 10 years, The Usuals.
Okay.
Then met his wife. She was getting her CPA at State. Mm-hmm. She was from Alabama, but somehow got. And they married and moved back to Alabama, where she was from.
Okay.
So he could still play his music, and she did CPA stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because he always loved to do hard work.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mean kind of like manual labor?
Yeah, my oldest son wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he loved it. And he's always found a job now. And 5 years ago, her job transferred them to Nashville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's really in the loop. He plays with everybody. He's been to Cypress with a group in Greece. And I think I've told you this.
I don't think so. Okay. No, not that part. But that's awesome.
Well, anyway, he and two friends have written a country Christian song that's gotten to be number 5 on the charts.
Oh.
But getting back to what he liked to do, and he still does it, there's a landscaper in his church that he plays for.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a job with him from about 6 a.m. to about 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then he comes home, takes a shower, and goes out and plays his music.
Right.
So I asked him, I said, well, what do you do all morning? He goes, kill snakes, dig holes, whatever I have to do. He just loves to do that.
Yeah, he likes being outside.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so he's having a ball in Nashville.
Okay. Awesome.
And he has two sons, that one in Birmingham and one back in Nashville now. He's back and forth from England.
I see. Traveling.
And the one that lives in Birmingham has always been really good at like computers and everything. Mm-hmm. Never had any training, but when he was in the 4th grade, they gave him a box of junk metal and he built a computer that worked. So he does all the promo work for the city of Birmingham.
Okay.
And now the city of Houston has seen his work, so now they've hired him too. So he's back and forth from Houston to, And the three grandchildren, the children of my son here in Greenville, One of them lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. One lives in Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. and one lives in Wilmington.
Okay.
And between them, they've got 5 children. So I got 5 great-grandchildren and 5 grandchildren.
Okay. Okay. A lot of good family to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just mentioned currently with East Carolina, right, you are involved with the School of Music mm-hmm. and the music fraternity. Mm-hmm. Are there other things? Do you still go to any of the athletic events?
I always buy tickets to all of them, season tickets. But it's kind of hard for me. I can get into basketball
yes.
easier than football.
Yeah.
But I still get them because I like to give them to my son, and he has coworkers, and mm-hmm. I buy 5 tickets, and so they have a good time with that. And in fact, I was calling the ticket office yesterday to see if they'd come out yet. They did a reseating of the whole stadium. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, you had to go over and pick up. I think I have the same seat. But anyway, I love to go mostly to the basketball.
Okay.
Because I...
Do you go to men's and women's?
Yeah, it's men. Actually, they're not my seats. It's a friend of my son's. He has seats one row behind the team.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're perfect seats.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's when I go to those. And I keep up with that, all of it. You know, who's winning, who's doing.
Right.
Yeah. Never did. I knew some of the girls that play for girls basketball way back, and I can't think.
When you were in school, did you go to the sports events then?
Well,
some of them?
I'm sure I went to football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I did.
Right.
Because Bill was playing or, But,
don't really remember
a
whole lot of stuff.
Not that much.
Where did you live on camp? Did you live on campus? Or you live off campus?
Oh, you mean before I got married, I was in the dorms.
Yeah, okay. What dorm were you in?
Cotton.
Okay.
Wilson a short time, and Garrett for the last 2 years.
Okay.
And then when we got married, we lived on, over there next to the, right across from Garrett, Holly Street. Then, A Street, which was near the river.
Yeah.
And then we moved up to 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
We got a house there and then built this house in 74.
Okay.
And we've been here 51 years.
Okay. What can you tell me about dorm life?
Oh, well, I enjoyed it.
Did you have one roommate or more than one?
One roommate.
Yeah.
And... Well, my freshman roommate, she's not living anymore, but the one I had the last 2 years, we still stay in contact.
Yeah.
We talked this past week. She lives in Trenton, North Carolina, so sometimes she's up here.
The dorm, when you lived in the dorms, were they all, was it like all a female dorm?
Yeah.
Right?
In Fletcher.
Yeah.
Is it not now? Is it?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I know they aren't all, so.
Yeah. It was...
Did you have, I've read some of the old student handbooks, and there seemed to be a lot of rules.
Uh-huh.
were there any in particular that you really remember?
Well, not really, because I was kind of laid back and didn't get into a lot of stuff, so I probably didn't know.
Yeah, I think, you know, just things maybe with, like, curfew and stuff like that when you had to be back.
I didn't have any problem with that because I was always in early.
Did you study usually in your room? Like, well, I mean, obviously you had to practice in the, Fletcher, right, usually. But if you were studying...
Well, not
did you
Fletcher, not Fletcher.
Well, yeah, where?
That's
right, you said
Wichard.
Wichard, that's right.
So
okay.
I had to go down there.
Okay, and so the organ was in Old Austin.
In Old Austin.
But you would go to
Wichard.
And do stuff too. Okay. Uh-huh. Did you study in your dorm usually, or did you go to the library ever?
I went to the library some, but
yeah.
Usually if I had to look up some info, you know.
Right, right, right.
But usually I just studied it in the dorm room.
Were there any places on campus that you or your friends, like, sort of gathered to, like, just kind of hang out? I know that I heard there, like, were some, like, maybe in Wright Auditorium, like, in the bottom of Wright, there was, like,
oh, yeah, that was the student center.
Yeah.
That was
Wright,
the soda shop.
Like, soda shop. Yeah, I've heard
that
about
was
that.
Soda shop.
Did you ever go there?
Yeah, I went there some, but I never was one to hang out that much.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
But I did, I remember the soda shop. Yep. Forgot about that. It was under Wright.
I've seen a few pictures.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
What's under there now?
I don't know. I don't know what's under there now, actually. That's a good question. Are there... So, I guess I was wondering, too, if there were, like, from when Bill... From when your husband worked, you know, in athletics here at East Carolina. Do you have any memories from that time that you would like to share about, I don't know, traveling with the, you know, the team?
We would get to travel with the teams
a
lot, yeah. And that was fun for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. We sure did. We traveled with the teams and went to, let's see, where was it they played? And we went Army, Navy, you know, all up in there. And, let me see. Good grief, I hadn't thought about that in ages. But we traveled with the team a lot.
Any particular memories from that time period? Or people, I guess I could say that too.
Yeah. Gosh, I hadn't thought about that era in so long. I can't even.
Yeah. Was that when he was the athletic director?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I would travel with him all the time. I got to think that over.
Well, that's cool. That's very cool. Are there other things that, I guess I could say, what achievements are you most proud of? But I think you've touched on that a little bit, right? That your lifetime achievement award from the School of Music.
Oh, yeah.
I know as well.
Yeah, I was surprised at that.
Are there other things that you're particularly proud of?
Well, my whole family, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, all of them have done well.
Yeah. That's a good thing to be proud of.
All of them.
Yeah.
And can I tell you one story about Bill and me? We were so opposite.
Yeah.
So opposite. And when I, he got into the Hall of Fame, Athletic Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he started it.
Oh, okay. And did he start that when he was AD?
Uh-huh. And
when he was the athletic director is when he started it.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly when it was started, but he said he thought they needed to have one. But anyway, I said to him one day, which is better, famous or distinguished? And he said, you are extinguished. So that's how we went at each other all the time. But some really happy memories over there, and still really love to keep in touch with a lot of the people. And I'll have to tell you one funny story about the orchestra.
Yes.
Okay. There was a guy called Vittorio Giannini. He started the School of the Arts. He was the first head of the School of Arts.
Okay.
Well, it was when I was in the orchestra, and he came to Greenville to conduct his own symphony for a concert. And we were way back in the back and could barely play part. You know, we did the best we could. And some of the main ones were out that day. And here it was. And he stopped the rehearsal and said he wanted this group to play their part by themselves. And my teacher, who was in, had to go up to him and tell him, they're not capable.
What did he say then?
Well, he loves to go. He just I'll never forget that one. They're not capable. Which is true.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I stayed in that. And ended, what was so funny, I was looking at a yearbook. I think I had one left. I think I gave you a letter. And it was like, I see. I can't remember where I saw it. Maybe in there under my name about what I'd done. I was president of the MENC chapter. Music Educators National of North Carolina.
Okay.
And I was not even in music education. And I was the president of that club.
That's not a bad thing, though. Okay, so that's another thing. Do you remember anything about that group?
It was a huge group of music educators. And,
yeah.
And my brother was in it. He was a freshman when I was a senior.
Right.
And he thought it was really funny.
Did y'all just meet periodically? And
who, my brother?
No, the that group. What did y'all do?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they met and promoted music education, which I was not even in.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that happened.
Right. Yeah, so what's your brother? Oh, that's right. You said John Johnson. And he...
He passed away about 4 years ago. And he was a band director. He was in... he's saxophone and clarinet major.
Okay.
And he used to come to Greenville a lot, and we would play in church together.
Oh,
I would get
him
to play for me. Because they used to have a dance band called the Collegians.
Yes.
And he was in that, and they had reunions about every few years.
Oh, okay.
And he'd always come to that.
Okay, okay.
And so, and he lived in South Carolina. That's where his wife was from. But
I was going to ask you.
His first job was, they had an Air Force base at Myrtle Beach. And he was the band director in the school at the Air Force base. And the funny thing about him was he got his degree in music. And then he had to go to Vietnam. And they put him on a tank. And because he didn't mention his music degree, he got back to the... Anyway.
So he...
He got back from off the tank that day and said, by the way, I have a degree in music. And so they put him in charge of music at all the offices' parties.
Oh,
so
that
that's
was
what he did the rest of the time in Vietnam.
Much better.
Yeah.
How long was he there?
About 2 years, I think. You know, whatever the...
Gotcha.
But anyway, we used to... Growing up, my father was a self-taught artist, self-taught musician, self-taught design. What did y'all want? All of that. And he never had a lesson in music. But we... I was probably 12 and my brother 9 and my father, we entertained at every club in Roanoke Rapids.
Oh, okay.
The Lions Club and the, you know.
Yeah. What did your dad play?
Saxophone.
Okay.
Same thing my brother played.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever played clarinet, but when my brother got here, he had to be a clarinet major. And saxophone was sort of secondary.
I see.
But, you know. So he played both.
Okay. Were you involved in the church here? You said that, right? When you were a student, you were involved in...
Memorial Baptist.
That's where you're saying you played then. Okay, so that's what you're used to.
I still stay in contact with some of those people.
That's wonderful.
You know, they are, you know where they are now. Mm-hmm. They own them. Yeah.
Well, there are other things that I haven't asked you about that you want to tell me about.
I can't think of
it. It doesn't really, you know, matter what they are. Just in case there's something else you really want to tell me about.
My mind's kind of blank right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to tell us a little bit about your experiences and with East Carolina. And it's really great that you've been able to be involved in the university for so long, in so many ways.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sure do. I really enjoy being involved with the School of Music.
Yeah.
And then our Choral Scholar Program. Have I told you about that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, my choir director is head of choral music at ECU.
Okay.
Dr. James Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been there now probably 7 years or so. And I really enjoy working with him.
Okay.
And back before he got here, actually, Jeff Ward, he was in the School of Music. He went to Kansas or somewhere to be a head of the department, but they moved about 7-8 years ago. But he started this program. We have a choral scholar program where we have about, right now we've got 8 music majors, voice majors in our choir.
Oh.
And we become real, really involved with them and getting to know them. And in fact, it's April or May. I've got pictures of them there. They all came over here to my house for lunch. James went and got stuff from Sam Jones. And I've got that pool table and pinball machine. So all 8 of them came over here and spent about 3 or 4 hours with me.
Nice.
It was fun. But we become really close to them.
That's wonderful.
And it's been a great program.
Okay. Okay. Are they, is it like, for course credits, or are they just getting experience?
Well, the church pays them some, a little bit.
Okay, so they have like a stipend with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, we don't have them now. We just have them when they're
right, not during the summer. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're making do.
That's nice.
But it's really been a good program, and we get so close to them. And I go to all of their recitals. I've told you what the faculty calls me.
No.
Have I told you? I go to everything over there. I've got a seat that I like to sit in.
Uh-huh.
It's row number F, and I said it's my initial.
Right.
So I'm on row number F, and the faculty calls me a groupie.
That's cute.
Because I go to everything. They have such good stuff over there.
They do.
The faculty recitals. I've gotten a new... A lot of the faculty, and it's just been, really good. Really good to be involved.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I have really enjoyed that. But, they're something.
So, so when you were there, it really, music was just in Old Austin at Wichard.
Not that much in Austin, except for whoever did organ.
Okay.
We had the organ in that. Oh, and we had a Thursday afternoon recital.
Okay.
They had an auditorium in there.
Right, yes.
Every Thursday was the School of Music, it was the Department of Music recital. And we had a recital.
And it was different. Who was performing?
It was like students.
Okay, and it changed each week.
Each week it was different. We had student recitals.
Okay.
And then we had a big, huge pipe organ in there.
I've seen a couple of pictures.
Have you?
Yeah.
And what was funny is, I think I told you this, there were certain times we couldn't practice because the pipes were up high. And faculty offices are up there, and it would deafen them if we were down there. So we had certain times we could not
No, you didn't tell me that. That's interesting.
Certain times we could not go in there.
Interesting.
But it was a nice organ. And my teacher, he taught us in there. It's where we took our lessons. And he went to run the graphics and played for my wedding.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. George Perry.
Okay.
He was my teacher. Piano and organ teacher.
Okay.
We had Elizabeth Drake, Dr. Carter, and him. Three piano teachers.
Uh-huh.
And he taught piano and organ.
Uh-huh.
But the other two taught just piano. Elizabeth Drake and then Miss Toll, Eleanor Toll taught it was more music education stuff, you know,
uh-huh.
like not recital music, but you know,
mm-hmm.
that was her. We had four teachers, and they were on each corner of Witcher Building.
Okay.
And those little windows that you see were practice rooms.
Yeah.
You look up there, you see little windows.
Okay.
They were our practice rooms.
And you said it was a new degree.
Bachelor of Music and Performance was brand new.
Yeah.
There was one guy that got it right, but he was a few quarters ahead of me.
Okay. And so was it really just piano and organ?
Well, it was then, but later on, I think maybe all the instruments had.
Oh, yeah. But when you were there.
Oh, yeah.
Was it really just that?
Yeah.
Did they do voice yet?
I think I was the only one that year that got it. Really hadn't developed that much.
Yeah, so it might have. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
It might have developed into that. I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the ones that went into opera and
would have had
that degree.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, you mostly really just remember people doing piano and organ.
Yeah. Because it had just been put in.
That's really interesting.
And the guy before me, his name was Jasper Williford, and he was from Farmville.
Oh, the one who graduated.
The first. I can't remember whether we kind of overlapped or whether he graduated. It seemed like he was there when I was there.
Yeah.
Seemed like he was just ahead of me a couple of years.
Okay. Was the music education program? That was a lot bigger, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because
that had been there for a while.
Oh, yeah. That was
teachers.
Band directors.
Yes.
And,
okay.
Music teachers in school.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That was there.
That was pretty well established.
That was there from the beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
What is this right here? What is that?
Sticker.
Oh.
Yep.
Leo Jenkins. Oh my gosh, what a character.
You got any stories about him you want to share?
No, except I remember him sitting on that back row, and when he died, I remember he died during Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
And he wanted the college choir to sing. Yeah, all this written down.
I could understand.
And
that.
I thought about him really sure. About 3 weeks ago, I played Mozart's Ave Verum, and that's what he wanted me to play as a special song.
Yeah.
And every time I play that, I think about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But which surprised me. I don't know why, but I just thought I've played some strange songs for people for funerals that they have written down.
Mm-hmm.
Can you erase some of this if you don't want to hear it?
I can if I want to.
You know, the at the hospital, the big building, it says Eddie and Joe Allison Smith on top of it.
Yeah, is that the children?
No, that's the cancer.
Yeah,
thing.
Okay.
You know,
cancer,
that real tall one.
Yeah, the cancer song.
Well, Joe was in our choir church, and I used to come to her all the time. And Eddie, they were big Chapel Hill, Carolina people.
Okay.
And gave a ton of money up there. But it's also, I see now that the athletic complex is the Eddie Smith, athletic complex. Well, Joe died. She was in ISIS, both of them. I've got letters that he writes me. I keep them. He still writes me cards. Oh. About he liked my music and mm-hmm. I mean, but anyway, Joe died and he said, I wondered if you would play something for me, for the family to go out. And when I found out what it was, and I said, well, I would only do it for you, Eddie. He wanted me to play Hark the Sound of Crawhill Voices.
Oh.
And that's what I play for them to go out.
That's sweet. That's sweet of you.
But he's been given a ton of money for everything in Greenville yeah. and Chapel Hill. And
yeah.
Mm. But he'll write me. He lives by himself out in Grimesland, I believe. Oh, he's got a farm out there. And
yeah.
He said he just couldn't stay in the house that mm-hmm.
they
had lived in. So
yeah,
he's written me some nice letters. Mm. I bet talked you out of it.
No, you're good. Well, thank you very much. And okay.
I